أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، وعلى آله وأصحابه كما أراد. الحمد لله. Today was a beautiful day. It's also a very historic and powerful day in which we remember the battle of Badr, a battle of truth versus falsehood, a battle of faith and conviction and sincerity, where 313, in spite of their limited amount of resources and numbers, stood firm, stood strong for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for the wealth, not for the fame or anything else, but solely to protect the deen of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them success through their pleas, through their du'as, through their sincerity. And this teaches us a very important lesson, that if we too as individuals stand firm and strong and with sincerity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then no matter what opponent may be in front of us in our lives, what the obstacles may be, we can overcome them with the victory, with the aid and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah azza wa jal elevate the rank of all of the shuhada of Badr and all those people who sacrifice for the deen of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Tonight's short khatira, very short reminder, inshaAllah, is to teach us two key points. Generally in life, when you want something from your parents, or perhaps from your teachers, or anybody else, even your employer or a friend, you always know that there are certain words or certain acts that you can do that will generally melt the ice and make them more willing to give what you want. So for example, a child may ask a parent again and again, and the parents will say, no, dafa, or I'm not going to listen to you. And then the child will use a different tactic, and they'll come and sit in your lap. And if that doesn't work, then they'll come and they'll hug you, and then they'll kiss you, or they'll come and give you one of your favorite sweets or something else. They'll try every single thing until they figure out exactly what makes you tick, and then they'll give you that thing, and then you'll say, chalo, theek hai, ask for what you want and you'll get whatever you want. This is just human nature. And if we apply this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal loves us far more than our parents. We are His creation and He loves us so much. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct manner, at the correct time, in the correct place, with the correct words, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will listen to those du'as, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us whatever we want. And the secret of the salah, or rather the key to ask to getting what you want in salah, there are two key points. One point is when you are in a state of sajda. When you're in sajda, remember, you've come, you purified your body, you've done your wudu, you've cleansed yourself and your limbs, you're standing in a clean manner, and you're praying and worshipping towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, when you're in the most intimate and closest position to Allah azza wa jal, after glorifying and praising Him and elevating His status, saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, then you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever you want, and Allah azza wa jal will most likely give you what you want based on your sincerity and your conviction. And we learnt the previous dua of the sahabi who would ask, Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan la yartad wa na'iman la yanfad wa murafaqata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi a'la jannatil khuld. Asking for iman which is firm and strong, which never reverts. Asking for the blessings which never decline and depreciate. And asking for the companionship of the Prophet ﷺ in the highest of heavens. This is what the Sahaba ikram would ask for. Not the wealth of the dunya, for treasure, for gold, for other things. But these things which actually mattered and would give them benefit. That's one point. Does anybody know the other point in salah where your dua will be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal? No hands up? We've done say that. Anybody else? The second point, there's two parts, two places in salah where your dua will be accepted. One is sajda. The second is before the taslim. Taslim is when you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to the right, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to your left. So before that particular point, that is the second, or rather the last opportunity for you. Now just imagine when you're sitting with somebody and you're talking to them and talking to them and talking to them, and then they want you to go, and then whatever you ask them, they'll say, tika, tika, leja, and just go. You can think of it like that. But the before the taslim is also a very crucial point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you what you want. So these are the two places of dua where it's accepted in our salah, and we need to focus on these. Now just reflect on your own personal life. When we do sajda, sajda is one of the quickest things that we do. Out, and we're out. And especially when we're in at-tayyat, we're just reading at-tayyat, and Allahumma salli ala, and salam, and that's it, we're back. And we're trying to finish off our salah. But these are the two crucial points where we should be taking our time and asking for whatever we want. That is the time, the mercy, the doors of mercy, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are wide open. The treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are wide open. Allah is just waiting for you to go and take what you want, and He'll say, take it. Take it, have this and have this and have that. But we are rather those who are being in haste and is rushing our sajda and also rushing our taslim. So remember these two places when you're doing dua sincerely to Allah Azza wa Jal. So coming to this particular point of the two du'as, there was a sa'il, i.e. a person who's questioning, and there was a person who was answering the question. So just remember who's asking the question and who is answering the question itself. So who is the best ever sahabi, the most prestigious, most elevated, the most closest sahabi to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and the first Muslim in Islam, the father-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, or the first Khalifa of Islam, the Siddiq, and recorded as the most truthful by Allah Azza wa Jalla, the one who is guaranteed Jannah by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, undoubtedly the best Sahabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best Sahabi of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So he is the one who is asking the best of creation. The best Sahabi asking the best and the most perfect of creation, asking the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now ask yourself this, how many of you go to your imam, go to your sheikh, go to your other people and say, teach us a dua? We use the same duas we learned in madrasa, and we're just repeating them, and we're just on auto-repeat. Oh, you rata la la kya, and that's it. We never actually try to learn more duas. There are so many du'as that you can do in the jalsa between the two sajda. There's a du'a when you say after Sami Allah, liman hamda rabbana lakal hamd. And there's other du'as as well. But we don't even go down that line. We just want to do the bare minimum. And then we think, let's just get through our salah. But look at the Sahaba ikram. They were always worried and concerned. And they wanted to learn more. They wanted to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas, what is our state? We want to do the minimum. So if an imam, you know, ever tells you, you know, don't do this, okay? But if you go into ruku and say Subhana Rabbi Razim once, your ruku is complete. If you go into sajda and you say Subhana Rabbi Ala once, your sajda is complete. Okay? Even at-tahiyyat, after reading at-tahiyyat lillahi wa salawat, and you come to durood, if you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin, your salah is complete. But this is what? This is the bare minimum. And don't do the bare minimum, because who are we standing in front of? Who are you asking? Who are you worshipping? Who, where are we? Think about these things. So the Sahaba ikram wouldn't just want to finish their salah. They wanted to enjoy their salah. Have lazza. Do you know lazza? What lazza means? Taste it. Really enjoy it. When you have your favorite ice cream, if it's Ben and Jerry's, or if you have any other, you know, milkshakes, etc., you sit down and you just take it easy. And you enjoy it sip for sip. Tikana? Don't just, you know, get through it for the sake of getting through it. So the Sahaba ikram, they could physically taste the beauty and the sweetness of salah. This is why they would stand there for hours and hours just praying their salah. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stand all night praying and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much so that his ankles would swell up, and Allah himself would say, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That Torah karabar. And I know, yes, this is what I think. When you enjoy something, you love doing it. But do we actually enjoy salah? This is the question that we need to ask. Because if you enjoyed salah, believe me, you'd be here all the time. And instead of your Xboxes and your PlayStations, instead of your friends and the dunya and the bazaar and all the other things and the cars and enjoying yourself, you'd be in the best place, enjoying the best thing ever created for insan, which is salah. So, back to the best of sahaba, asking the best of the makhluq, the best of creation, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And what did he say? He said, Ya Rasulullah, oh Messenger, oh Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allimni du'a ad'uuhu fi salati. Teach me. He already knew the salah. He knew all of the normal standard versions of the salah. But he said, teach me more. I want to enjoy my salah and spend more time with Allah Azza wa Jalla. So, علمني دعاء أدعوه في صلاتي. So this is what he was asking, that teach me extra dua that I can say within my salah. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then he taught this particular dua to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. And this is, he used to say this dua before the tasleem. So you can say after the tasbih in sajda, whatever you want in terms of Arabic duas from the sunnah, that's perfectly fine. Or the second point where you can ask is before you do the tasleem. So you do Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. And then Allahumma barik ala Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. After this is the time for you now to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything else in addition. We normally say, Ya Rabbi ja'alni muqim as-salati wa min dhurriyati, Ya Rabbana wa taqabbal du'a, Rabbana khfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yakum al-hisab. But why is it that we just stop there and thinking, chalo theek hai, quota pura karo, let's just, you know, finish this off. This is the time for you to ask. This is the time for you to remember the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَجَعَلْنِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَسِدِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ, and other du'as from the Quran of different prophets, and ask Allah Ta'ala whatever you want. This is the time for you to ask. So Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, after completing this normal standard version of salah, then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam taught him this particular extra du'a, which is Allahumma إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. For those people who go back to your old days when you're actually learning the du'as, most likely your teachers and your imams actually taught you this as part of the full durood. But nowadays people will just do Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin and then salam this side, salam that side, and oh yeah, banda. But this is the extra dua the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam taught Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, which he used to do every single day without fail, and he'd ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's quickly translate this. That Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kaseera. That indeed I have wronged myself, not just a little bit, but I have wronged myself excessively. We wrong ourselves on a daily basis, and we don't know all the things that we have said or done or the things that we have thought about. But who is saying that? Who is teaching this? The Prophet ﷺ is teaching this. Who is he teaching to? None other than Abu Bakr Siddiq, the greatest of the Sahaba Ikram. But in spite of that, he is saying, Allahumma, oh my Lord, my beloved, most generous, most kind, most merciful Lord, إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا. Indeed, I have wronged myself. And we wrong ourselves so much so that we don't do the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards ourselves, towards our body, towards our limbs, towards our heart and our tongue, to do justice to ourselves, let alone do justice to other people. So you acknowledging this is the first step of humbling yourself and submitting yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when your child says, I'm so, so, so sorry, what I did was so, so bad and so, so wrong, then before the child even gets to the next bit, the parents already start to melt. And they just hug the child and say, chalo, khair hai, jahan diyo, ko nahi ho gaya, don't do it next time. This is what parents do. So this is the first part of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Allah, you know, I'm not perfect. I have my shortcomings. I have my failings. It doesn't matter who you are, how high you are, how elevated you are in terms of your rutbah, of your maqam, of being the greatest sahabi. إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا. Indeed, Allah, I have wronged myself excessively. فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك. Please forgive me. There is nobody else who can forgive my sins apart from you, O my Lord. You can go to any garage and get your car fixed. You can go to any shop and get your phone fixed. You can go anywhere in the world and get anything fixed by any other person. You have the option. Where is the only place that you can get your sins forgiven? none other than in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to turn and say, Allah, I have nowhere else to go. Nobody else can help me. Nobody else can forgive me. Nobody else can pardon me. Nobody else can do anything for me. It is only you, my Lord. I have wronged myself. I can only turn to you, and I'm only and solely turning to you, O my Lord. Faghfir li, please forgive me, please forgive me. You are begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maghfiratam min indik, from the maghfirah, from the forgiveness that is only and solely with you. You can go to any sheikh in the world, go to any imam, any peer, any person in the world, they will never be able to forgive you. No matter how much money you give them, and they can't say to you, tu bakshya, tiri maghfirat hogi, tu ma'atnu maaf ki ta. No, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in other traditions and cultures and religions, they go to their priest and they say, okay, you know, I forgive you, you've been forgiven, you know, you've been atoned, etc. No, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you have to turn yourself. And which is the best point and time? When you're in sajda, or when you're sitting down with your head bowed down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. Oh Allah, only you can forgive me, please forgive me. I do not deserve to be forgiven for my transgressions. I do not deserve to be forgiven for all of my shortcomings and my failings and for my negligence and everything that I do. But because you are so merciful, because you are the pardoner, because you are the most forgiving, oh Allah, please forgive me from the mercy that you have reserved, that is placed there with you. From that, give me a small portion of your mercy. Give it to me. Even the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba ikram that without the mercy of Allah azza wa jal, without the rahmah and without the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even I cannot enter into Jannah. It is only through Allah's mercy, it is only through Allah's pardon and forgiveness can even prophets enter into the gardens of paradise. So who are we? We think that somebody came early, that we've achieved so much, we've fasted so much and done so much qiyam and so much tilawah and so much sadaqat. I think that's it. No, you have to remember who you are. Remember your position and then beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholeheartedly and say, Allah, please, only you can forgive me. Imagine there's only one person in the world who could fix your car. One person in the world who could fix your financial problems. One person in the world. What would you do? The distance you'd have to travel just to get to that one person. And when you'd go to that one person, would you ever leave their door, leave their home until you got your problem fixed? You wouldn't, would you? Until you didn't get your solution, you'd never leave that person, because apart from him, nobody else in the world can help you. So why is it that when we're coming and sitting before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we quickly say, and that's it, we're gone. When nobody else can give you what you need, that maghfirah, that bakshish, that protection, that salvation, that mercy, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at this comprehensive and powerful and beautiful dua. Who is teaching it? The best of creation. Who is it teaching to? The best of sahabi. To think about who we are in comparison. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ وَرْحَمْنِي. Oh Allah, have your mercy upon me. This is a very important thing, because وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. So after you've bowed down and you've begged and you've acknowledged who you are and your shortcomings and your failings, and you've asked for forgiveness, and then you ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Just the way a child always expects mercy from their parent. A student always expects mercy from their teachers. The huffaz always expect mercy from the person standing behind, that they'll be easy on the luqma. Everybody expects mercy. Without mercy, the world cannot operate. If nobody is merciful, then we'll have complete destruction and chaos in the world. Everybody is merciful. And so we're asking Allah, please give us your mercy, give us your clemency. مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ وَارْحَمْنِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. For verily, indeed, without a doubt, you are Ghafoor, the one who is the most forgiving, the oft forgiven, and Rahim, you are the most merciful, the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most beautiful of names. So if you want to call out to Allah azza wa jal, call out by his names. And look at how this dua ends. Ghafoor and Rahim, the one of the two, the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know when you want to butter somebody up, say, Sorni, oh, Miri Jahan, this, that, and butter them up and use all of these titles and appellations and endearments and everything else to make them happy. So if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be happy with you, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you what you want, call on to Allah with His beautiful names. And this is how the dua finishes. Innaka antal ghafoorur rahim. So please do memorize this dua and say this dua every day in your salah. Just the way you learn the other dua in sajda. Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan la yartad wa na'iman la yanfad wa murafaqata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ala jannatil khuld. Say that in your sajda and other du'as, and say this dua as well before your tasleem, after asking forgiveness for yourself and your parents. And say this, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira wa la yaghfiru az-zunuba illa anta faghfir li maghfiratan min indik warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. And inshallah, you'll see your life and your heart and your soul transformed, and you'll be elevated and bring closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya and also in the hereafter. Jazakumullahu khairan.